I was thinking last night, I love to see Jesus manifested. I just love it. That's what I live for. That's my passion. When Jesus comes in and something changes, that's amazing. And I pray that this year we will just continue to see more and more and more of that in our lives, in our church, between friends, in our community. That's what we go, and we will. We will. I've got so many testimonies of my lifetimes where I just cried out to Jesus. Cried out to Jesus. The way I was sometimes close to, various situations, for jobs, for healing, for death, for everything. And I cried out to Jesus. And He's enough. But it's not easy. It's not easy to keep on running, to keep on going. But I pray that as we come, we are a community. God has put us together. We help one another. It's like Daniel shared. Well, we're walking the road. And he started sharing about our journey together. And last week, just talking about God's place in our life. And I just want to continue with that. And just want to give it a part two of God's place in our life. And just before I get there, in our community, as we're praying together and I've talked to some of you, I've mentioned it, the thing that we are going for this year, and there's a slide for this, is just to knowing God, to know God, and to be a community that grows together. We are growing together. And we are a community that grows together, and we will represent Christ wherever we are. And we're gonna unpack this a bit, and it's gonna link into this, and this is what we're going for. This is how we're gonna go forward. And even our theme for the year, being one. I just realized when we are one, when we are in unity, God comes and He commands a blessing. Something is different. When the blessing of God comes in, something is different. And I know times where we just felt that I didn't know where's God. And that's a lonely place. And I know when that blessing of God and when that comes in, it transforms everything. And this is just what I want to share. And if you want to, when we spend time together, that we will share these testimonies, that we build up one another, that we can stand in faith together. And we're gonna walk this road. And I'm just so aware that right in the beginning, God is just coming and He's doing some renovations. We don't always like renovations. This is my simple trick that I tell everyone, the 80-20 guys. 80-20 principle. 80% visibility, 20% effort. It's very important. Don't think you understand. If you need to do a lot of things in your house, you look at everything. Say the light bulb, paint the wall, and a big job outside, something, build a wall. That light bulb is going to get you favor. It's very visible, it's easy. 20% effort, 80% visibility. You start there. Okay? And then you work it from there. That's just a tip. You'll understand it later. I know with Lee, my wife, there's things I must do first. She walks into if you paint the wall, that's easy. She walks in, wall's painted, lots of points. It's amazing. It's easy. So God is doing renovations in our lives. He's busy changing us. He's busy. As we come in close, as we make space for God, He's highlighting certain things. And He's going to press some buttons this year. And through those things, we are going to grow. But sometimes what we want to do, we just want to run. We just want to run away. But we're not here because we are perfect people. One time they asked Jesus, "But why do you spend so much time with the people, just almost the sinners of the day?" And He said, "I came for the sick. I came for those that need me." This is why we gather, because we are all sinners. I remember Pastor Andre Creer in East London. He's the pastor there. We were doing outreaches, in East London back in the days before the church even started there. And then we would stand, he liked to stand on a ladder and big speakers up there in the town square or in the streets, and he will call someone from the crowd. And then his first question was, "Are you a good person?" And then his whole thing was worked out that guy is going to say, "Yes, I'm a good person." And then he would drill it down a bit. But that one day, this guy walked up and he said, "Are you a good person?" The guy said, "No, I'm not a good person." So Andre's standing there, and this guy, and they look at each other. He said, "Okay, that's fine. You can go again." Because we are not good persons. I know I've got good days, and I know I've got bad days. And I know that this Lee and I, we can fight. And it gets nasty. And we've got things to work out. And she speaks into my life, and I speak into her life, and you guys speak into my life. And we journey together. And it's not always nice. But these are the type of things that this community, God has put us together, that we are going to grow together. We are going to represent Christ. And we are doing it already. We're not many yet, but each one we come and we bring our contributions. Last year, the Reiterwach outreach, it was amazing how so many just came and everyone just brought stuff. Some brought just their effort and their talents. Others brought finances for the banners that we made and the marketing and all the pamphlets that went out. And it was so beautiful to see how we came together, worked together, and we created a space for God just to come in people's lives. And more of that is going to happen. And we will be good stewards. I just want to tell you guys that everything we bring our finances, our efforts, our time, our energy, the children's church. There's some people that they're never in church. They're always at children's church. But God is blessing them there. And all of this, we create space for God. And we are going to be good stewards of these resources. And we will build God's kingdom wherever we are. And this is just what's happening. And I'm excited about this and about the year that's coming. And I know the challenges are very real. The challenges are very real. There's always a lot of stuff. Man, but I'm praying. I say, "Lord, you came through for me there and there and there. And I want the breakthroughs not for me, Lord, for someone else. I want that breakthrough for someone else. Because we can't live, you guys can't just run on my revelation, on my stories." And that is, I'm passionate about this. That everyone will have their own story, their own testimony, their own breakthrough. And it is happening. It is happening. And I just want to quickly go back to Peter again. But this time, last week, when you looked at the place of God in your life, we looked at John 21 at the end, where Jesus actually just came back to Peter. And he said, "Okay, I'm calling you back." Jesus got crucified and then resurrected. And these guys went back to fishing. And you know that famous scripture? Then they had breakfast. "Come and have breakfast." So you can go on with your specials. It's all biblical. Have breakfast. Amen. Vince. Yeah. That's it. We're just honest with one another. And the beautiful thing about Peter is how Jesus, we know his name Simon, and we know Simon Peter. How the two played against each other. Simon was his name, and his dad was John, and we know he was born in Bethsaida and then later moved to Capernaum. And his mother-in-law was there just before Luke 5. We read how Jesus healed his mother-in-law, or it says in her house. So maybe then he was married. But these guys were fishermen. That was their thing. They were good at it. And probably his dad was a fisherman and everyone else. And we know a lot about Peter. We know he's bad. we know a lot of bad things about Peter. Everyone thinks how he denied Christ, and he's just there, outspoken, first one to say a lot of stuff. And then there's the good things. How God built his church on the rock, and he's calling Peter from the beginning. You see, God say, Simon, and he used the word Zephas. I don't know if the pronunciation is right, but it means rock, it means stone. And we see it later as just the name Peter. And Jesus used these words Simon and Peter interchangeably, and that's what we also see in our Bible. So we see the current state, the old Peter, or the old Simon, and we see Peter, who God sees him, and his potential. And I was thinking, and it was just amazing how God called him Peter, almost reminding him of the strength of his potential. When we played touch rugby at Stellenbosch, I had a very good team. I was proud of my team. And there was one guy, Liquid Bullet. I can't remember his name. I just remember he was Liquid Bullet. And when I see him in on campus, when I see him in university, I see him in class, I said, Liquid Bullet, you're my man. Because that guy ran 100 meters in 11 seconds. So on the touch rugby field, if there's a little bit of a space, Liquid Bullet, he just knew, he get the ball, he ran. I told him, you don't pass, you don't look around, you don't look back, you run. No one will catch you. I saw him once, and I just said, that guy. Because we played some tournaments in Stellenbosch, and later League, Touch Rugby League. And everyone, I remember Hansie Brits, he later played for SVD and went to the Southern Cape, come from there close to Mossel Bay. Hansie was brilliant sidestep distributor. He passed the ball over the field from anywhere. Brilliant. He kicked with both feet. He was brilliant. I always tell him, you can be the next flyer for South Africa. And then, yeah, he was playing flank at the time. I said, no, man, leave the forwards. Go for backline flyer. And then Harvey Goos, another friend, he had an inside pass. That was the only thing he had to do. He just had to give me the inside pass. We worked it out. He looked that way, he gave an inside pass, I come through, boom, score. Easy. That was our move. It worked every time. That was his job, inside pass. You look that way, inside pass, or you look that way, inside pass, zoop. But I just want to come back to Liquid Bullet. That guy. He didn't have to pass. He didn't have to do anything. He just had to run and don't look back. And that's what I called him, and it was drilled into him. And that was almost coming back to Peter. Jesus telling Peter that you are the rock. And each one of us, we've got a potential. We've got something that we bring that is just beautiful. And you bring that little bit. You bring that. That is who you are. That's what God created you. Sometimes we're not sure about that yet. But that's going to come out in community. And we're going to see that in one another. And when God comes and he's going to bless this unity, great things are going to happen. And I'm not a motivational speaker. A Muslim lady once says she loves listening to pastors. They're the greatest motivational speakers. And I was quite offended with that. Because I'm not a motivational speaker. I know Jesus. I've seen Jesus. I've seen him operate. I've seen him change lives. And Jesus comes to Peter in Luke 5. Well, actually, Jesus was at the time, he was just going around and teaching. And the speakers of the time, they're looking for amphitheaters where they can talk. So it was a good place, close to the sea, just to talk to the people. This nice amplification of the sound. And everybody is lit. He's sitting there and they're listening. And in the meantime, Simon and he had some partners in his business. It's all there in Luke. They were working on their nets. So if you know fishing, like Lizelle, and talk to her about fishing, there's certain things that work for certain fish, for certain areas, bait and everything. These guys, they know they were fishing through the night. And they throw out their nets in the shallow water and other nets in the deep water, and they catch different fish. Then they will come back, and they probably went to the city of Capernaum and they sold the fish, and they come back and they work on the nets. They start preparing for the next, for evening, when they go out again. And this is where Jesus is now. They're standing in the morning teaching the people, and Simon is busy. Simon Peter is busy with his, in his boats, or in his boat, but he had a couple of boats, and he's busy mending his net. And now Jesus came and he said, let's just read. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that is just the Sea of Galilee, that's another name for it, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So this is Simon Peter, they're busy, all the guys busy there. And he got into the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So already that must, when Jesus gets into your boat, then things are going to happen. So Simon is just going on fixing his nets, and Jesus is teaching. I thought maybe he must have thought it's a bit weird, but in any case, it's fine. Maybe he will tip me afterwards for using the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So, I know some guys, when they bry, they know about brying. They will tell you, this is how I bry the steak. My father-in-law is one of them. I don't like brying for my father-in-law, because he's got a very, he knows everything, how this boerewors must be like this, and the steak must be like this, and chicken must be like this, and you will know, sometimes it's a backseat driver, sometimes it's whoever in your life. You've got your area where you think, this is my thing. I think fishing was that for Peter. Now this is Jesus in the boat. And he said, hey, by the way, just go deeper and throw your nets. Throw the nets out again. The middle of the day, they're busy mending their nets. And yes, you know backseat drivers. I don't know if some of you are backseat drivers or you've experienced it. Sometimes you don't like people to say things, this is my thing. I know this. I'm good at this. Leave me alone. So he started some sort of a conversation. He said, Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. By the way, this is the NIV that I'm reading from. He said, we've worked all night. So now he's saying, we've worked, we know this. We know this fishing thing. This is what we do. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because in a moment he was prepared to put aside all these excuses, everything, all the reasoning. He said, okay, because you say so. Sometimes we do that to transfer the responsibility. You'll disagree with someone, maybe with Lee, and say, okay, because you say so, I'll do it. Remember, if it doesn't work, then it's your fault. That's what we want to do. You say so. It's not I that want to do it. Because when they done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's when, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. So this was probably Peter's dream catch. This is what he's worked for. This is, you know, fishermen, they go out just to, when they caught some fish, then it's motivation to go out another few months. It's almost like golf. When you hit one hole in one, you just want to go back all the time. And maybe take years or a lifetime just to get that one hole in one again. These guys, they were fishermen. They understood when the nets are full, that's it. That we probably made it. We probably, this is like the winning the lotto. And then he realized, and When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." So he realized that what's happening here is a miracle. And suddenly there's this thing of, "Lord, I'm not good enough anymore. I'm not good enough anymore. You are holy, and I've got all these problems in my life." I've experienced sometimes, I can just think back, there was a guy that they call a prophet. So this guy will speak things into your life, and he'll say this and this and this. And sometimes God works in that way, where there's a word of knowledge and word of wisdom, where he reveals things about other people. And one time I was standing in a setting like that, and it was almost like the fear of God that came over me. And say, what if he's going to say this and this and this? Because I just realized, whoa, when something of Jesus is going to kick in here, then I'm not good enough. I want to run away. I want to get away. And this, I think this is maybe what happened here. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy to stand in your presence." And this year, we are just being real with one another. We're just a community that grows together. And we've talked about the journey that we're on, the journey together, and finding that place for God. Place for God. But you can make a place for God in your life. And we can make time for that. But God is going to speak. And He's going to say things. And He's going to give direction. And now there's a response. Now there's a way to respond. Sometimes when the light comes into my life, something shines in. Into the darkness, into the sin, into all the stuff that's going on, the stuff of having a bad day, and leaders going, "Yaku, you're acting that way again. Stop that. Or you're getting angry, or what's that?" Then I want to get away. And I think Jesus is saying that, don't run. Just hold on. And then we read on, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners." Because he had partners. This is like a thriving business going here. And now they just had their catch. The ship came in. Then Jesus said to Simon, it's amazing, he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's happening here. Don't be afraid of me that walked into your life and I that know everything and I can change things. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats on the shore, they left everything and followed him. Now they left everything. I think Peter must have think that, "Man, I'm going to sell fish. I've got a few dreams. I've got New Year's resolutions of building an upper room. Another story on my house. We're going up. We're going to catch a lot of fish. And everyone can come and stay with us." It's like Vince. Everyone can come. We're going to build it bigger and bigger and bigger. And now it's all there. Now the fish is there. And his partners and everyone came and they're all collecting stuff. And there's no more space. There's nothing. There's no more. This is the dream thing happening right there in front of them. And then they left everything. They left everything. He just walked on. He just left everything for Jesus. For following Jesus. That's amazing. And they followed him. And I realized that, we can put a lot of things, we make space for a lot of things in our lives. When I was in India and we talked about that, we preached about it, where They just add Jesus onto all the other gods. And that's fine. They don't have a problem with that, to add Jesus on. They will look at everything that's happening and say, yeah, I will make space for Jesus. Like we said last week. The problem is, or not the problem, the challenge. The challenge is when we need to put Jesus first. When we must leave some of the other things and start moving with Jesus. That's a different story. And every time when there's someone getting baptized, baptism is amazing. The public testimony, what's happening in the spirit, it's amazing. There's something that happens in someone's life, and it's just incredible. In India, they've got no problem of someone following Jesus. Well, they've got a problem, but in essence, it's okay if you add Jesus onto all the other stuff that's happening. But if you get baptized, if you say, I'm following Jesus, man, you just change everything in the spiritual realm, in your family, in persecution. Everything steps up a notch. It's a whole different ballgame. It's interesting, there's a podcast that I sometimes listen to, and the one guy wrote a book about essentialism. It's just speaking about things that's really important. And he's got a whole book about it. And then he starts talking about priorities. And he says the word priorities only came into the English language here after 1940. Around the 1940, 1950. Before that, it was priority. What is your priority? What we do, we want to have priorities. We want to make space for Jesus and make space for all other things. And somehow we need to balance it all out. The same guy, he said, he doesn't like to talk about balance. He likes to talk about passion. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? We know the scriptures say you can't serve God and mammon. I'm just sharing from my own life because I know this is always a thing. You can't serve both. You can't be devoted to both. That's the word that's being used there, the devotion. You can't be devoted to both. It's going to challenge. It's going to be a wrestle going on. And Jesus is enough. He's enough. But we would like to have him part of our lives and then all the other things. And want to have all of this running at the same time. You know, when your Windows freeze, your computer. And when you have so many programs open and then this, everything hangs. And it just stares at you. And it says only 5 minutes. You know, 5 Microsoft minutes, it's not real minutes. It's going to go on and on and on. And then you do the restart. And you just start over. Or something crash. Now sometimes in our lives we want to manage everything. We want to have all the windows open. And somewhere there's a window for God. And I'm just going to keep that window open because I know God is important. I must make space for God. And so I'll just keep God's window open. And it's difficult. Okay, I'll check. Then I can cut and paste. It's almost like Google. When I was still a programmer, the guy said, they said, some guys, you just paint by numbers. You just Google a lot of stuff and you put it together and voila, you've got a new program. Sometimes it worked very well. It's paint by numbers. But we like to do, Lord, I make space for you, but this thing is really a challenge and this thing and this thing and this thing. Okay, now I need you again. And you just start adding in. And I pray that this year, as we move forward, that we not only make space for God, but we actually, we talk, we communicate, we follow God. That we allow God to come and change us. Because whenever the light shines in, there's a challenge, there's something that we want to stand back and say, whoa, it's going to shine into the darkness here in my life. It's going to shine right in and I'm messed up. I know myself. I know all my issues. I don't want it to be exposed. I'd rather run. Paul writes to the Philippians, and you can go to the verse. It's Philippians 4, verse 67. He said, do not be anxious about anything. So that's a massive thing. That's something that I must first meditate upon to let it sink in a bit. Do not be anxious. That's fine. Do not be anxious, okay? But about anything. Let's just add a twist on there. That's like a supersize. But in everything. Now it says, do not be anxious about everything. And verse 7 it says, and the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So somewhere there's a connection. Do not be anxious for anything, to get to the peace of God. And in between, it is, but in everything. That but is not just, I'm going to tell you something else. It is just, he made a connection. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your request be made known to God. Interesting thing, it is, he's making that connection. Do not be anxious. The outcome is peace. And in the middle, we have prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. Prayer of supplication, that's a asking. That is, you come and you ask. You bring everything before God. There's a asking. There's a whole process what's happening there. It's not just going to pray. And then, I just want to go to the next slide. Psalm 55, verse 22. It also talks about, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, this is some of the scriptures that we must put up and you just read it, and you just read it over and over and over. So that's a massive thing. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will not permit the righteous to be moved. It talks about bringing your burdens before God, bringing everything that you worry about, everything. You bring it before God. You cast it out before God, the prayer of supplication. And then just want to read the next verse that I've got on there. Again, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. See, I care for you and other people care about you, but God cares about you. That's the whole different level. The next slide. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Must believe that He exists. And that's the confidence that we can stand, that we can look at one another, that we can pray together. That's the confidence. We know God exists. I know this is not airy-fairy, this is not weird stuff. This is life, this is real. So if we go back to with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, that thanksgiving give us a clue that we start thanking God, that we start saying, Lord, because You exist, because You are alive, I can come to You with my anxieties. I can come to You with my fears. Because of who You are. Because of my testimony. Because when I was almost dead, coming down the hill on that bike with that trailer that went, and I shouted, Jesus, everything stabilized. When I was praying for a guy in Malawi, he couldn't hear, and suddenly God opened his ears and there's something there. I said, whoa. God, this is amazing. This is God coming into a situation. He's changing something. When I was at work as a programmer on the phone to America, and suddenly I sensed that this is the next thing that's going to break on that guy's computer. So I started typing my whole mail, and I said, this is the fix that you must apply and everything, and I sent it off. So he phoned me, and I said, Yaku, you're starting to scare me now. Because he's sending me solutions for problems that after I get the mail, then my computer breaks. And then I apply the fix. And I remember that day because I was shivering. I was like, yes, God, is this you? Is this what you are doing? And I sent that fix off. And when that guy phoned me, I was just saying, this is God. This is not me. This is God coming into your situation. And he's not a respecter of person. Or he's not, that's his wit broekies nie. He's doing it for everyone. Again, let us just go back to that, to Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, believing in the God that we serve. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And hearts and minds, this is everything. This is how you feel. This is the thoughts that you're having. Everything. God comes and he speaks into all of that. And those are very real things. So there's a place where Paul is writing to this guy. He said there's a place where this peace can come into your life. And sometimes this is a place where we must... Well, my experience is sometimes I just got to work for that peace. I got to pray and I bring it. So Lord, this is who you are, Lord. I believe in you. This is what you've done before, God. I bring it all to you, God. I bring you, this is what I trust you for this year. This is what I'm seeing in our community. Lord, if you don't come through for me, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. I had many moments like that. I always say, when you are on a Sunday evening on your bed all by yourself, that's when the real you comes out. It's a new week. Lee, when she was still in the hostel in high school and going home for weekends, she said she had that bad feeling that comes over you. You must go back to the hostel and let's go. The week is going to start. And sometimes there's some bad feelings that come over us because we can fake it for a long time. We're good at small talk. We can come together and small talk for a whole day. Well, not everyone. I'll add that. Not Lee. We can small talk for a long time. And we can hide around stuff and put masks up and everything. But someday, I like to say Sunday nights. Kids are in bed. Things are quiet down, you know, there's a lot of stuff going to start again. And we just reflect. And you sit there, it's just you and God. And suddenly these fears and the reality of life and everything just comes up. And it's just overwhelming. That's where you just get real. You just talk. Say, Lord, this is what I trust you for. Lord, this is what I'm asking you for. And Lord, I thank you that I can come to you, that you are alive. And I just want to, just lastly, I just want to share or read something quickly from 2 Chronicles. It's not on the slides. It's a bonus. Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat defends Moab and Ammon. Now these guys, they were coming against, the armies are coming against him, and there's a lot of things happening, and we say, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Munites, that's everyone, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. So this is a bad situation. There's a lot of things coming against him. And he said, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And then in verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up. And you say, where they're going to come and everything. And then it just continue. In verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, they're just going up against these armies. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. In verse 27, then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. And a fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. How the Lord had fought the battle. That day, there's something amazing that happened where God intervened and he fought that battle. They didn't know. They probably thought they're all going to die there. There's going to be no one left. But everybody, they went to God. They went and they searched his face, and then the word of God came. Okay, I will fight the battle for you. And they went up with everything, and the Lord won that battle that day. And all that I'm saying is, with that is, let us not run from God. This year we grow together. We share the battles. We share the testimonies. We share the victories. This is like family. Family works. We celebrate, but we also fight the battles together. There's often things to celebrate, but there's also, on the other side, battles to be fought. And I invite you and everyone, as we journey together, as we make space for God to come, not just to give God another chair, but to give him the chair. Not just to make him part of all your priorities, make him the priority. And that's it, and that's what I'm trying to do in my own life. Because we know he's faithful. We know who he is. We know. And for me, it's not, sometimes we just say that, yes, one day there will be the victory. One day things will be better. One day we will all stand and there's a victory that comes from that, from following God. For me, it's very practical. When we bring God into our lives and into our situations, there's already a change happening today. There's a difference in my mind, in my heart. There's a confidence that can only come from God. There's a peace that can only come from God. And that is happening today. That is not just one day. That is on this journey, walking the road. That's every day. And that's what I pray, that each one of us, that we will experience something of that. And it's not you don't have to be ashamed of where you are in this walk with God. God is amazing. He's the only God that comes to us. It's not like that we must prepare ourselves and then go to him and go look for him and search for him. He comes to us. He came to us. He's waiting for us. Yeah. He comes to us. You just first and say, hey, I wait that everything is perfect, and then it's going to ta-da. No, he's coming. He's coming. He's at the door. So let us stand, and let us, I just want us to, as we finish, we are finished. Again, God's place in your life. We fight real battles. We have real challenges. But when we allow Jesus to come in, when he's in that boat and he talks into your situation, say, Lord, I know how this works. I know about this. Just give him space to come and speak into your life, into every area, even those areas that you are so confident about, that you think no one can tell you anything about this. You've got this figured out. And then also in those battles, because He's the Almighty God. And I don't know how to. I would just laugh at this. It would just be amazing if everyone can just see everything and experience it at once, and how amazing God is and how powerful He is and everything. And but that's what I pray for, that it will happen, that you will have your own story. You will have a first-hand revelation. You will have a story that you can share with someone. Say, this is what God did for me. Not many years ago, this year, 2017, a year of breakthroughs. This is why we come together. We see God's face. We learn together. We walk together. So when we worship now, I know we did it also in the beginning, but just again, you come before God. You say, Lord, I want to make you the priority in my life.